Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome back to Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. It's so nice to be recording again. I took like a month off. Obviously, there were still episodes that came out, but I haven't been at my desk recording in a minute. I actually was in a bubble on a set, which is a pretty bizarre experience. And hopefully one day I can share with you all what that was like. But it was awesome. And now I'm home, which is also awesome. I don't really know what to do with my time now, but I'm figuring it out. The office looks really clean. That's basically all I got. I have to say, I had a very funny experience today. I'm actually recording this the day before this comes out, which is very rare for me. I'm always recording weeks in advance. But today, I was going to close my window in my room, and by my window, well, under the window, is one of my dog's beds. And I don't know what happened. I think I just like forgot how to be a human for a second because I just fell just like straight over the bed and I just screamed and then I laid there. And I'm one of those people that when I like get hurt, I'm hurt for a minute and then I just start laughing hysterically. And it's been hard for me to stop laughing because I just keep on remembering how much of a dumbass I was. And then I start laughing again. Anyway, happy to be back. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. I love doing this. And hopefully you guys tell all of your friends about it and I can continue doing this and maybe make some money off of it one day. Who knows? Who knows? Could just be me in my office forever alone. Today on the show, we have Lisa DeRue. She is great. She's in a bunch of Hallmark movies. Basically, if you've ever had the Hallmark Channel on, you have seen her face. We had a great conversation. She's starring in the new Netflix film Love Guaranteed, which just came out a couple weeks ago. Y'all should watch it. It's a really cute rom-com. And here's my conversation with Lisa DeRue.
All right. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. I got my cup of coffee, second cup of coffee of the day, and I'm good to go.
Ooh, it's a two-cup day, huh?
It's a two-cupper. Yes, totally.
Oh, gosh.
It's one of those.
Oh, that takes a lot for me to do two cups.
Really? God, yeah. Good for you. I had to cut back. I was a hardcore, like, 3-4 cupper for a while, and then I had my daughter, and I went, I can't do this anymore. It just wears you out. So two cups. Mm. If I have a second one, it's because I need it.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's like coffee to me is such a morning thing. Like I really have to be super, super, super tired to drink it in the afternoon. Otherwise, I'll just have like a soda, which I know is so bad for you, but I'll still do it.
But you make yourself think it's better. It's like, no, it's better. It's better. It's not coffee.
It's awesome. It's not coffee. It's better. I'm having a Diet Coke.
Exactly.
Just getting my body prepared for death. It's great.
You got it. You got it. Oh, so true.
God. So you're up in Canada. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm based in Vancouver, Canada. How is Canada?
How's it up there?
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's fantastic. It's in terms of the film industry, I think we opened, I don't know if it was kind of on par, if we opened sooner. We opened, first thing I shot was back in June. So
holy Lord.
I know. And the thing is up here, I mean, we, out of fairness, we have very different scenery compared to LA. So I think we have a lot, a lot of different locations that they can shoot, whether it be the mountains or the ocean or just, you know, city life. And we have far less people in Canada. So I think it's a lot easier perhaps to get locations and stuff.
No
but
kidding.
Yeah, it started up in June again. A lot of protocol, the masks and the testing and all of that. Less people, less crew on set.
Yeah.
And then I think they said as of, what did I read the other day? As of November, there'll be 80 shows up and running here. Because we do.
Wow.
Yeah, but again, out of fairness, we do a lot of MOWs, like Movie of the Weeks and stuff up here, that in L.A., you guys do a lot more studio stuff. So, yeah. So it sounds like a big, big number, but I think if you're comparing it in terms of budget-wise, it's probably it's probably a little bit bigger, but not as grand as it sounds.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm sure that is it. I mean, I think it's cool that you guys actually got to be able to go back to work in June. Like, for us, SAG is just announcing that we have, like, back-to-work protocols now.
Interesting. Well, I know there was a big debate between ACTRA, which is our union, and SAG in terms of starting the shows that were going to have a lot of SAG actors on them, or any SAG actors, so they weren't just strictly Canadian shows. So the Canadian shows started up first. Because they had to agree. I don't know what I'd be lying if I said I knew the exact agreement, but I know even like the good doctor couldn't go again until they figured out how often you had to be tested and stuff. So it's good though. That means your union cares. It's a good thing.
Yes. Yes, it is true. And I think how did Canada do with the pandemic? I feel like you guys did a lot better with it than what we're currently in.
We have to remember, put in perspective, you have way more people in your country than we do. And I think in terms of shutting down and stuff, our government was very proactive about that very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so I think it just, you know, I think based on just Canada as a country, the history of being quite precautious about or quite cautious about things like that, it's we shut down pretty quickly. So, I mean, but our numbers are still going back up like everybody else right now for this second wave. So we're not, you know, by no means are we doing anything that's so fantastic that we're escaping what the rest of the world is doing. But no, and yeah, it's definitely a different ball game up here than down there. It's a little more strict, but we also have far less people up here than you guys do. So I think it'd be a much tougher situation to be in the States currently, even just because of that.
Yeah. 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 I barely leave my house. So
well, there you go. There you go.
I just stay in my house and just live. It's fine.
Right. Well, as long as you're happy, you're good.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that you said Canada was precautious. It reminded me of, did you watch the Emmys the other night?
I did.
Okay. So Dan Levy obviously won like everything, which was amazing because I love Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
But I saw the funniest tweet that was like, as a true Canadian, Dan Levy apologized for winning every award. And I thought that was the funniest thing ever.
But that is so Canadian. We really do. We come by it honestly. Like, none of us are trying to make it sound like we're so apologetic. It's just something that is ingrained in you from day one to just, you know, be humble and be grateful and shut your mouth. Don't be too over the top excited. Oh, that's so funny. He's been so funny from the beginning, though. That guy, I remember watching him. God. He was on the after show for The Hills. I think it was him and Jesse. I can't remember her last name. Hilarious.
Wait,
redhead
what?
Girl. Yeah. He was on the after. I think he was the after show for the. I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was the after show for The Hills. And it was him and this girl, Jesse. And I'm totally dumbing out on her last name. She's this hilarious, gorgeous, redheaded woman who's gone on to host other things. And he was always really funny. And you're like, who is this guy? And then I found out it was Eugene Levy's son. And you're like, oh, no kidding. So when I found out he was starting a show, there was no way it wasn't going to be successful because he is so insanely
funny. Oh, my God,
funny.
You're so right. He was on the Watch What
Yeah. his commentary. Oh my god!
I'm gonna have to watch.
Please do.
And he was so young.
Oh yeah, it was the original. It was like Lauren Conrad and what was the one the other girl that was on Kristen?
There was Kristen Cavallari. Lauren Conrad.
Yeah, they did the after show and commented on all the ridiculous behavior. And him and Jesse were so funny. So you knew, you're like, this guy, both of them, they're gonna do well for themselves. So I'm glad it worked out. That's so funny.
I think her name, Jessie Cruikshank.
Yes. Oh, God, she's hilarious, too. She's good. They're both hilarious. Yeah.
I had no idea. I wonder if that was just a Canada thing, because I never saw this.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, being in Canada, I saw it, so I don't know if it was just up here. I don't know enough about him that if he lived in Canada or if maybe he was from LA because his dad was his dad. I have no idea. But, yeah, you knew he was going to do just fine.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, he's so funny, and I love that show. So Canada, you grew up there, right?
Did you move?
Okay, so you grew up in Canada. How was that?
Oh, it was awesome. Full blown Canadian. But I grew up in I grew up in Manitoba, which is straight up from Fargo in Minnesota. So it's very much that feel of Fargo. Everyone has a very Canadian accent. You know, you want to go home at Christmas. My mom, oh, I'm so happy to see you. Like, mom, need to work on that. But yeah, I don't know. It was good peeps. Good. It's a smaller city. So just overall good people. And then moved out to the West Coast about 10, 11 years ago. And I've been down to LA. I've done all that stuff. But I just find that, I don't know. I feel like for some people, LA is just, it's the place. It works for you. You love it. But I think maybe just because I grew up more small city and just a little bit different climate, that I really liked Vancouver over LA. So I'm glad I stayed here, because the film industry is so busy up here too, that I think either way, it doesn't matter where you live, you're going to work, which is great.
I know. I've always joked about marrying somebody who lives in Canada, just because I feel like there's so much work up there all the time. Plus it's Canada. And if I need to escape, I can.
Just do it. Why not?
I have a Canadian friend that I'm just like, so should we get married yet? Like, I feel like it's going downhill down here.
Right. I feel like maybe I should come hang with you guys up there. You're not the first person to say that, so I won't judge you if you do it. I think more power to you.
Canada's beautiful. I've been to Vancouver and Victoria. It's so pretty.
It is pretty cool. You've been to Victoria? Really? Good for you.
Yeah, back when it was like swine flu days, I think it was H1N1, all of the cruises that were going down to Mexico got switched to going up to Canada, because nobody could go to Mexico. So me and my two friends and our parents went on a cruise together. And it was like Vancouver and Victoria. And I think there might have been another stop, but I can't fully remember. It was really fun, though.
Cool. There you go.
That's great.
Good for you.
I also read that you were a big ice hockey person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I did.
What is that like?
Well, I thought it was great. I mean, I didn't know any different. Yeah. Someone else might not like it.
I'm so bad about being on the ice. Like, I just fall on my ass. So,
well, I came from a family that we did it pretty early on. Again, that's very Canadian of us. But my dad was a really good hockey player. And so I think naturally he didn't have any sons. So I was his second child. And he went, she's going to do all the boy stuff. So by two, I think he had me out on the ice, and I took to it. You can tell when someone takes to skates really well, because as opposed to just kind of like trying to walk on these blades, they actually start to glide. And so I did that pretty young, but I wiped out hard, I think at about 2.5, and my whole upper lip. My parents, I don't know why, they didn't put me in a cage. They should have, like a helmet with a mask that's a cage. Technically you should put all children in it, but they were naive, they didn't know. And so I smashed my face open, and I wouldn't go back for about a year. And then once I did, we wore a helmet, and then everything was fine. And I loved it. So to be honest, I've skated longer, or I should say have been more comfortable skating, than probably anything else I've ever done in my life. So it's I love it, but that doesn't, you know, everybody's different with it. But it was just fun. While other people were playing football or baseball or whatever, I played hockey, ice hockey, even in the summer. It was crazy.
That's amazing, though. It sounds like such a fun talent that not, I feel like not a lot of people have that. I mean, again, I'd just fall on my ass if I tried to hold a stick while also standing on the ice. It just wouldn't happen.
So it takes all kinds. There's impressive. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, I liked it. It did well for me, so here we are.
Here we are. And then what made you decide to, like, get into acting and move away from the ice hockey?
Oh, it was a complete fluke in a way, which people don't like when I say that story because it's very pisses every actor off who's like, I've been working my butt off. But I honestly, it was really kind of organic in the sense that I was supposed to go to Bemidji, Minnesota for school for hockey. And I dislocated my shoulder 3 times in my grade 12 year. And my mom just said, take a couple classes back home in Winnipeg, get it fixed, keep your brain active, and then you can go next year. But one of the classes I took at the university in Winnipeg was just a theater class. And I fell in love with it. And I saw Chorus Line and they were Dance 10 Looks 3. And I was like, that's amazing. So within a couple weeks, I had signed up for, well, I had found a studio that would teach older people because I was already like 18 going on 19, which is old in dance world. So I started taking about 9 hours of dance a week plus a couple hours of singing, enrolled in the theater program. And then just a series of events kind of came about where my second year, I drove a girlfriend to an open MTV movie audition call and I was just driving her. I wasn't even going to audition, but the casting director heard my laugh because it's quite loud. And she asked me if I wanted to come back the next day. I said, sure. But I booked it, which I look back now. Oh, wow. It was like, yeah, it was crazy. It was Lizzie Kaplan and then Steve Braun, who's now a casting director with Risa Bermon Garcia. And then who else? Brooke Dorsey. And it was just cool. I didn't know at the time. I was, you know, I think at that point I was like going on 20. Had no idea how to film act. But it was like 16 days on set. I was like, this is pretty cool. And then, yeah, right? You're like, is it always like this? I had no idea. But I was that person that had no concept of the understanding that time is money when it comes to film. So, you know, when it was my call time, be in the makeup chair at this time, say it was 9 o'clock, I would offer to pick everyone else up. So I'd be like an hour late. And they're like, Lisa, you have to be here at 9. And I was like, oh, but I was picking up so-and-so and so-and-so. They're like, you can't do that. It's like, why not? I didn't understand. So I learned a lot of tough lessons really quick. Or I remember bringing friends to set because Lizzie had brought friends to set, but she was the lead. So of course she could bring her boyfriend to set, but I didn't know. So I started bringing, and they just kept putting them in my trailer. They're like, you're not allowed to bring people. I was like, why? I didn't get it. So it was a rough, steep learning curve. But yeah, so I did that. And then my third year, I signed up for a stage combat class for theater, just thinking it would be good to have. And I was athletic. And I guess I did well, but the teacher found me after the class had ended and asked, why didn't I give him my resume, which I was clueless about. But he was the stunt coordinator for all of Manitoba Film. So he ended up getting me into doing stunts for a couple years. And right out of the gate, I think I did like 10 stunt gigs within
a year.
I know. And the thing is now up in Vancouver, I have my own film training studio. And the front part of it is there's a gentleman who teaches different disciplines for martial arts. So we have a lot of the local stunt people in here. And so I see how hard they work. And the fact that I got credits right away is obnoxious because I had no concept how lucky I was. I was like, this is cool. You know, which I'm sure the people coming from out of town were like, you're such a dud. And sure enough, after about 2 years, the stunt coordinator was like, either you're going to train in it or you're going to switch to just principal photography. So I did, because that's what I wanted to do anyways. But mad appreciation for those guys, because I definitely would not do that now. But I was young and athletic and I don't know. I was like, why not? And then it all kind of came about. I took a year. I did a musical theater boot camp out in Victoria at a school that they have there. And I went home and booked a series that was coming randomly to Winnipeg with Mark McKinney from Kids in the Hall as the showrunner. He's the guy on Superstore now, if people don't know Kids in the Hall, but it all just kind of lined up. And then an agent from one of the people I was working with saw some footage and called me in Winnipeg in my little apartment and said, do you want to move to Vancouver? And I was already 26 and I went, okay.
Sure, whatever.
So oblivious to how hard it would be when I moved here, but it took about a year to get rocking and rolling, and then now it's all history. But yeah, it was not, I was going to be an athletic therapist and live in Minnesota. Like I was not going to be an actor at all. It's crazy.
Minnesota, what a different life.
I know, right? Totally.
Wow.
Would have been far more in line with Winnipeg, that's for sure.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
That's amazing. I love stories like that because I feel like this industry is totally like 90% chance and 10% like preparation, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally. And I think I had the intelligence enough from having played sports to understand that if you're going to do something, like even with stunt, like after 2 years, it's like, if you're going to do it, you better step up and do it because people will start to notice if you're just kind of relying on, oh, I'm cute and someone said I kind of look like this person or whatever. So yeah, I along the way just kept finding ways to do more and more training, not really ever thinking that it would, I don't know if I ever really thought it would work out. I just kind of, I was like, how can I avoid, you know, how can I avoid really committing to whatever it is I'm supposed to do with the rest of my life? I'm going to play as long as possible until my parents tell me I can't anymore.
I love that. Yeah. I think that's a great way to live.
Yeah. I was just, all I thought was, as long as I can pay for my apartment and my car, I'm good. And then, and then it all worked out. So here we are.
And then how did you land into like the Hallmark universe? Because I feel like you're such a name in that universe now. How did you land there?
I think I just, like everybody else in Vancouver, they film a huge amount of their content here. And so, like everybody else, you know, you go out to your general little auditions for it. And the one that kind of landed the best was the Murder, She Baked series, which was Allison Sweeney from Days of Our Lives, Cameron Matheson, and then one of their Hallmark darlings, Barbara Niven's. And it was based on a series of books that this woman had wrote, and she still is like a New York best-selling author, and they're really easy reads and there's always little recipes in them, and so that just kind of got me into their, I guess, into their world, so to speak. But the interesting part is I've done about 23 something like that, I don't know, somewhere in there, films for them, but I've never been a lead for them. I just kind of always get to pop in, do my thing, and pop out. And I think even this year, this is the first Christmas that I won't be on Hallmark just because of the way projects all lined up. I didn't end up doing anything. Yeah, it's the first thing. It's like years, but just the way, like, doing other shows, it didn't line up to do one. So I didn't. So it feels weird. I feel like, you know, you feel like, oh my God, this is the first Christmas. Yeah, but I did say to my husband, I'm like, it's kind of cool because I'll get to just sit and watch with everybody else and play the Hallmark drinking game and enjoy it. As opposed to worrying about like, oh, did they like it? Is it mine? Is it not? What happened there? But no, it's
going to work again after this.
I know, that's it. You never know. But the cool part is like I kept in touch with a lot of the leading ladies that I have worked with. And I would say in particular, Allison Sweeney and Nikki DeLoach, they're like sisters and I talk to them quite often. But that's been the cool part of all of it is that just getting to see them often because they come up here to work quite a bit. So that's been nice. But yeah, first Christmas.
It is interesting. I feel like Hallmark and Lifetime have both created these like families of sorts, almost kind of in the vein of soap operas.
Well, but that's, to me, it's the modern day version of that, because it is a lot of the same cast. A lot of your cast has come from soap operas. So it's neat to see, because you wondered, like, what would ever happen when soap operas start to, like anything, everything's cyclical, and it's starting, soap operas are, you know, there's still four of them, I think, hanging on there and doing well, but the rest have all kind of petered out. And so Hallmark was a new home for those audiences and for those people to do something that they're excited about, which is cool. So, and then Lifetime kind of went, well, wait a minute, Hallmark's doing it. We're going to do that too. But and I think they're doing it well. So
baking movies, everyone dies all the time way or another.
Well, I was saying to someone the other day, we were talking about this. I'm like, for a network that is so PG and so all about family, it's amazing how much death there is on every mystery show.
It's like all death,
and no one ever moves. Like, you're in a small town and people keep dying left, right, and center, and you're like, oh, I guess I'm gonna go to the bakery for coffee. Like, come on, people, move.
Guys,
never,
people are dying, leave,
right? And they're the most ungruesome deaths ever. They make them sound like they are, but they're so pretty. I remember dying once on what was it called? Garage Sale Mysteries. And even they came up and put a little blood on my forehead. Well, when they aired it, they didn't show any of that. It was just like, it's almost like she just kind of fainted from behind a tree. I was like, that was beautiful.
What a beautiful death.
God, what a great way to go if you're going to go. Sweet.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Tell me about your latest film, Love Guaranteed. It just came out on Netflix.
Yeah.
I love Jennifer Lee Cook. How was that?
It was great. I mean, the thing is with that show, I didn't know what to expect, but I knew walking in that Mark Steve Johnson, the director, I was a huge fan because I grew up with my dad watching all those old school the old comedies with like John Candy and Steve Martin. Mm-hmm. And so Grumpy Old Men and Grumpier Old Men were two that I knew inside and out. And so I when I saw that he was someone who wrote one of them, I went, are you kidding me? And so he was so cool about letting us do whatever we wanted. We did so many extra takes of things that never even made it to the movie because tone-wise they didn't fit. But I think because he was just having fun, he just let us play. Mm-hmm. So it worked out so great. And I mean, Rachel was awesome. Damon was awesome. Heather Graham was awesome. Everyone, pardon me, sipping my coffee and I'm about to choke here. Oh, okay, there we go. They were all just really nice. And I think, I don't know, my experience with people in this industry is that a lot of times when you want people to be cool because that's what you hope for, it's not necessarily the case. But for this, they all were. So that was kind of a little bit of the icing on the cake. Because either way, the script was fun and the character was fun and all that. But when the people, especially because Rachel was a producer, and I feel like the behavior of most crew on set will come from the producers if they're good, nice people, even when they're freaking out and, like, you know, kind of worried about things. the rest of the crew will be okay with that kind of behavior. So yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. It's an old school rom-com, right? Like it's what
I love rom-coms so much.
And they went away for a while because back in the day before Netflix and Amazon and even up in Canada, Crave TV, and Hulu, the streaming services really became a thing. The hardest thing to sell to any network was comedy. Like after when they kind of started, not, I don't want to say the movie theater started fizzling out, but people just didn't seem to go as often. It was really hard to sell a comedy. So people stopped making them. And that's when Hallmark jumped in and took that model and just kind of made it a little more PG. But this, since the streaming services have all gone, wait a minute, especially right now with everything, they're trying to bring them.
Feel good movie.
Yeah. They're trying to bring them back and they're just lighthearted. They're not super, you know, they're not going to make you overly anxious or anything too erotic, but they're just fun and easy. And as the people in it, it's just so refreshing to do something that maybe hasn't been done in a while, but that you grew up on. So you're like, yes, please bring more of these back. That would be great.
Yeah, I think I've only acted in like one rom-com, and I remember it being like the best experience because it's just so lighthearted on set as well, and you're all just having such a good time.
Well, that's the thing. Like, and you can go work on other things where, you know, you're like, oh, I really want to change it up and do something like deep or intense, and that's cool. But you forget that for then 14 hours or whatever it is you're on set that day, it's really intense.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to – we shoot – pardon me, Up Here shoots that show Million Little Things. And did you ever catch the show Psych? It was a comedy
I think I've seen episodes like on USA or something.
Right. So I think it's James Roday. I apologize if I'm pronouncing his name wrong. He was the lead in Psych. Him and Dulay, I can't remember his last name. Great
Dulay
guys.
Hill from the West Wing.
Thank you. Obsessed. Thank you. Exactly. So Dulay Hill and James, well, Dulay and James, they were the leads of the Psych show, which was so funny. So I worked with him on that. Then I saw him because Small World, he's friends with Rachel. So he was at our little wrap party for this show. Mm. And we were talking, he was asking about Million Little Things because I love that show. And I was like, that's awesome. And he was really positive. But kind of as it came out, you realize what he was very politically correctly saying is that he went from a comedy where everything was funny all day, every day to a very serious drama. And so it's not the same vibe on set. And you forget that. And once you do those, like I remember there was one show, all I had to do was bawl my eyes out because my husband died. And so the whole day you're waiting to bawl your eyes out. So you can't necessarily partake in all the fun because you never know when they're going to be like, hey, let's do it. And you're like,
I'm also one of those actors that sits there with like my earphones in on set listening to sad music until I need to cry.
Well, and it's so tricky, right? Yeah, exactly. And it's so tricky because you don't want to be that person. Like, I'm not method or anything. You don't want to be that person who's going, okay, well, guys, just leave me my space. But the truth is I have such frenetic energy and love and exuberance for everybody that if I'm not careful – it'll just get all kinds of happy and all of that. But then all of a sudden they say rolling and you're like, oh my God, I actually need like 10 minutes to calm down before we can even go there.
Can I please have a second? I need to just like, you know, start breathing really heavily.
Yeah. And they're like, we're going into lunch in 5 minutes. Do you want us to go into overtime? No. Oh my God.
No. Okay.
My worst nightmare. Yeah. So I don't know. The rom-coms are always fun because of stuff like, or comedy in general is fun because most people are willing to be playful and not worry about like, oh, we have to start shooting right away. Whereas sometimes when it's the other stuff, it can be a little bit more on your brain because of where you have to go with it.
Right. Yeah. It's true. It's like you have to go basically into a whole new area. And like you said, like I'm the exact same way that you are. If I'm on set and I'm like having fun, then I'm just having fun. And then I'm like, okay, wait, I actually need to focus now. Give me a second, please. Thank you. Yeah,
exactly. You're like, damn it. I got to work. Okay.
God damn cool. it. I got to work.
I know. And then you get annoyed that you have to work. You're like, ugh. And all these actors that didn't get it, they're like, screw you.
Yeah, excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah. Can you appreciate us just a little bit? Yes, okay. So true.
Oh, man. Okay. So now that we've talked about your career a little bit, we've come to the part in the show where I like to ask people to share either a bad audition story or something that you almost got that you were really upset that you didn't get, or an audition story that was bad but turned out to be great. Anything like that? Do you have something in that for?
Oh God, where to start? So, my favorite bad audition story ever was. It wasn't even for anything big. It was this little commercial they were filming here. But one of the questions was, "Do you dance?" And because I started later, like I'm a really good mover dancer, but I'm not a prima ballerina, right? But I can move really well. It's all good. So I was really pushing my agent. I was like, come on. Like I was new to Vancouver. I was like, come on. He's like, Lisa, really? You want me to really push for this? Like, okay. It was like no pay. It was just a commercial. But at the same time, I was going to prove to the world I could do this. So then I go in and I brought my own music. I choreographed a routine. And granted, I'm already like 28 years old at this point, so it's not exactly like I'm a hot 16-year-old Brit dancer. So I go in with my own music.
I feel personally attacked. I just turned 28.
Oh, well, you got good for you. I'm jealous of your skin right now. So then you and your collagen, good for you. So I go in and I go to play my music. They're like, oh no, we have music. I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's okay. So they put on this little tiny CD recorder in the back of the room and you can hardly hear it. And it was like this like music, like totally not anything that unless you were high at a club, you could even remotely do anything to. And I was like, oh God. So then I was like, okay. So then I started like doing all these moves and dancing. I just went for it. Like in my own head, I was like, you're going for it, girl. And then all of a sudden she stops me and she's like, are you going to say the lines? And I was like, what? I never once looked at the script to actually look at the lines. All I could care about was getting my moves down. I didn't realize there was lines. Like I'd never done that in my life. I was mortified. So then I quickly looked at them and like tried to memorize them. So then they came out so brutal, just like a horrible machine gun of like, lines. That made no sense. And then because the music was still going and I was out of moves, the only thing I could think to do was to turn and grab my chair and kick my legs in the air like a donkey kick. And I almost kicked the reader in the face. And then they're like, okay, thank you. That's it. And the poor reader, she's like, oh my God. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Okay, great. And they're like, thanks so much for coming in, Lisa. And I walked out the door. And as soon as I closed the door, they erupted. They were laughing so hard because it was so pathetic. So that was probably my all-time favorite bad audition story. And I just, where did my brain go? Since when do we not have lines in audition? But I was so focused on proving I was the next J-Lo fly girl that I just did not do my homework. And it was awful.
The donkey cake.
It was awful. And in my head, I thought it was so straight. It was probably so crooked and hardly even off the ground. But I was like, oh, this magnificent donkey kick. No, it's brutal.
It reminds me of like Molly Shannon when she'd do the superstar stuff.
Oh, yeah. It was full on pathetic. Trust me. If only to be applying that well. Yep, that was one of my faves.
Oh, that's a great story.
And then my other bad audition story was the first time I auditioned in LA. And it's different because down there, you know, I mean, you would know the casting director can be 3 feet away from you with no camera and you have no clue. And so I went in and I kept waiting for somebody to come in with a camera. And finally, the casting director, this big guy, he's sitting like on a couch 3 feet from me. He's like, are you going to start? And I said, well, is the camera gonna come in? He's like, no. I said, well, should we wait for the casting director? He's like, I am the casting director. And we've been sitting there for 5 minutes. He just let me sit there and he waited and watched me to see what I would do because he thought I was starting it. So then I was so nervous that I did the audition. I think it was for Bad Teachers when they made that into a series. And it was so brutal that I only did the first page and got so nervous that I stopped. And he finally just said, are you going to say the other 2 pages? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Let's start again. And he goes, did you just apologize? I said, yeah. He goes, you can leave. I went, okay. And I just walked out the door and walked to my car and like hyperventilated. I was like, welcome to Los Angeles.
I can't believe he just was like, leave, you apologize.
I am positive he was just doing my manager a favor. And then he probably had like 5 minutes in between meetings and was like, yeah, okay. He thought, because I'm sure my manager was like, oh, she'll come in. He's like, she works all the time. She'll rock it. And I came in like a dum-dum, was so confused. Didn't like, yeah, just looked like a total amateur. So I'm sure he was like, get out.
Just please leave.
Yeah, never again. So that was good.
Oh, man, I love some good bad auditions. They're just the best. Like,
well, because everyone
obviously in the moment they're awful and it sucks, but they're fun to look back on.
But they are kind of funny in the moment because you're looking at the idea that you're like, I'm in a room with someone I don't know, trying so hard to look like I'm not nervous. They can tell by my pit sweat that I'm dying inside. And they're staring at me, hoping that I impress them. And I'm trying not to cry. This is my life. This is a job it chose. It is funny because it's so ridiculous. It's so absurd.
But it is. Especially when you have the auditions too that are like actual, where you have to have like actual breakdowns and then you're just like sobbing.
Oh,
and you just lose it in the room.
Well, I read one the other day and like, I read one the other day and like every other line, they're like, her eyes well up with tears to the point where I was like, do they just unwell and then keep welling up? Like she never quite cried. This is a feat. This writer is really pushing all of us to try harder. Like she wells up. She's okay. She wells up.
You have to well up.
Oh man. I was like, this is going to be rough. So I was like, I'm okay. I don't need to do this one.
Oh my God.
It sounds hard.
It's either that or you just like continually stare at the camera the entire time for that audition and just like have tears and that's it. Like just go total get out. Like just staring with tears.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, he can do it. So can I. If you stare at the camera. I know. Oh God. Yep. We've all been there. You just go, again, this is my life. Could have been a CEO of any other company by now, but nope.
But no, sir. I want to act.
I want to be an actor. Me and 3 million other people.
Feel my emotions, damn it.
Yeah. Notice me. So true.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much for sharing those stories with me.
Anytime.
I got a good laugh. I think that's the most I've laughed in a minute here. Whew,
oh, good. Good.
Where can people follow you on social media?
Any of my social media platforms, just I'm old school. I'm just Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, if people still do that. I don't know. It's the Lisa Derue, just my full name, at whatever handle you're going to, because apparently in France there's already a Lisa Derue. So she stole it first. So I'm the Lisa Derue.
It's more official anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, move over. I'm the Lisa Derue. There you go.
The Lisa. So yeah, you know.
Yes, you got it.
Thank you again so much. What's next for you? You're up there. Are you working on anything right now up in Canada?
I have to go back to do an episode of a show called Heartland that I've been doing for the last few years. Mm-hmm. The show's been running for about 14 seasons now.
Holy Lord.
It's crazy. It's got a world following that's insane, and it's all this beautiful scenery, and it's all about horses, these people that own a horse farm. And so I go back to that in October, mm-hmm. middle of October. Mm-hmm. And then from that so far, I'm kind of excited. I have some time off after, which is nice because I have a 19-month-old, and I find the one thing that the whole shutdown taught me was how much time I was not spending at home with her. And so luckily, she did her first step, her first tooth, her first word, all of that during quarantine for the first five weeks. So, yeah, so we had a big heart-to-heart as a family, my husband and I, and went, maybe for this next year, we could just kind of chill out how much we work. And then, mm-hmm. you know, that'll always be there. But she's only going to be teeny tiny once. And I don't really want to miss too much. So now I've probably jinxed myself, but I'm kind of really looking forward to once I get back from Alberta from doing Heartland that I'll get a little bit of time off. So fingers crossed it stays like that. That would be cool.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I think so. But I'm a mom. It's my, you know, you always think it's exciting when it's your kid and everyone else is like, oh, stop it.
Yeah,
but she's so smart. They're like, right.
We're like, okay, we get it.
We get it. You have a baby. We get it.
I'm that way with my dogs. So.
Well, I don't exactly.
Have children, but I have dogs. And my dogs well, are.
Trust me. Remember this moment. Remember this moment, because it'll be you one day going, see, she just took her first step. See, look what she did. She said, Maran. That means orange. Wait for it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It is. Cool. It is exciting. thank you so much for being on the show, Lisa. It was such a pleasure talking to you. And everybody should go watch Love Guaranteed and catch up on Heartland, because we're in quarantine.
Go for it. Okay, deal. Take care.
Thanks again to Lisa for coming on the show. Man, I haven't laughed that hard in a second. What a story. I love the donkey kick. That's probably my favorite part of that audition story. Just that her mind went there is truly beautiful. I loved it. thanks again, Lisa. Next week on the show, we have my friend Jessica Morris. We did a show together called Ladies of the Lake. She's in a bunch of stuff. She was a series regular on One Life to Live for a long time. And recently, she's been in basically every Lifetime movie that's come out, which is amazing. So tune in next week to hear that conversation. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now. From what I hear, we might be on Amazon soon, because I think Amazon is a thing that's happening now with podcasts. You're going to be able to listen on Amazon and Audible. So I think that's coming soon. But until then, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you're listening, click that subscribe button. And don't forget to tune in next week. You can also follow us on social media and check out the fun graphics. I really need to be more active on there, so maybe you guys should tell me what I should do, because I feel like I'm just sharing graphics at this point. But I'd love to connect with y'all, so head on over there. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your ferret. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before, because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.